I'm going to take just a moment now and let's talk about this word that we say is alive and precious. I'm going to give you two verses of scripture on your screen. Hebrews 4:12 reads this way. It won't be something you have not known and heard before. For the word of God is quick, that means alive, powerful, and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, just a little thing along the way, a little caveat. Sometimes among Bible teachers, there is a question as to whether or not we are a dichotomy consisting of two parts, or are we a trichotomy consisting of three parts? Your pastor was taught, and I believe it's biblical, that we are a trichotomy. I had a man say to me one time, you can't find that in Scripture. I said, let's go to Hebrews 4:12. He said, the Word of God is so sharp it pierces and divides soul, spirit. Folks, what is joints and marrow? That's your body. So there's body, soul, and spirit. I just passed that out free of charge. I want to also give to you something out of the Gospel of John. Notice with me on your screen the 6th chapter and the 63rd verse. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. In a world that is encompassed with the influence of death and all that can destroy, God's word never has anything to do with death other than defeat it. God's word will minister life to your spirit. The Bible, we know from these two verses, is a living book. Boy, when you share the Bible with somebody, you share a verse of Scripture, a part of a verse of Scripture with somebody, as long as you share it in its context, you're sharing life with them. Now, how do we assimilate? What do we do to take in the Word of God? I want to suggest a couple of things. Pray over it. In Psalm 119:12, did we put that on the screen tonight? Did you put the verse up? If you didn't, that's okay. Okay. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. And so we want to pray over that. Now, what will happen when you pray over the Word of God? You read it, you pray over it. Well, your eyes will be opened. Understanding will come to you. Your heart can be stirred. Your mind will be enlightened. And it's amazing as you continue to walk the path of reading and studying the Bible, you can take some of the most familiar verses, and years later reading that verse, God makes that as fresh to you and speaks to you out of that some way in your heart. It's wonderful. You want to pray over it. Second thing you want to do is you want to ponder it. In Psalm 119:15, we find these words, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Do you see that verse? We're going to meditate on the precepts and we're going to have respect unto his ways. When reading the Bible, remember that the Bible contains many forms of speech. For instance, it has poetry. We see poetry in the Bible as poetry. We see prophecy as prophecy. We see precept upon precept. We see a promise as a promise. And we see a proverb as a proverb. It is that important when we ponder over it. The Bible is to be interpreted both figuratively and literally. When we read symbolism in the Bible, we find out what the symbolism stands for, and we literally apply the truth that is found in that symbolism. Now, here are, and this is the heart of what I want to share with you, here are the questions that can benefit us when we study and read our Bibles. Is there a promise to claim? And what I mean by that, has God said something here, if you will, I will? Did he just make that to one group of people? Is that just a promise to Israel? Or is that a promise God has made across the board that if you will do whatever God tells you to do, he will do so-and-so? Ponder, is that something that's meaningful to my life? Is that something God wants us to do now? I'm aware that you can't take all the promises he made to Israel and try to make them to the church. Israel's not the church, and the church isn't Israel, but there are some things that God promises to bless to all of his people in any generation. And that's why thy word do we hide in our hearts, that we may not sin against him. So is there a promise to claim? Is there a lesson to learn? Is there something that this person did and was greatly blessed, and it'd pay me to do that? Is there something over here that this person did and it caused more grief than that person could live totally through the rest of their life, and I need to stay away from it? Is there a lesson I need to learn? I want to say to you folks, we mortal men and women, we don't learn lessons very well. Some of our closest family and friends can get involved in things and all but destroy their life. And you would think everybody that knows anything about it would say, oh, my soul, I don't want anything to do with that. I'm going to run from that as hard as I can run. But everybody doesn't see it that way. So I say again, is there a lesson to learn? Why would I think that this brought blessing to this person and it wouldn't bring blessing to me? Why would I think this person got in great trouble, but that won't apply to me? I could give you personal stories I don't have time for of people who said, nah, that doesn't apply to us. And they went right down the same road, multiplied tens and hundreds of thousands, have gone down and messed up their life. So I ask, is there a lesson to learn? Is there a blessing to enjoy? Let me just give you one. You can find them everywhere. Trust, try, and prove me, said the Lord. Bring all your tithes to the storehouse and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven. As far as I know in the scripture, it's the only time that God ever said, you put me to the test. You don't want to tempt the Lord thy God and put God to the test except when he tells you to. And if we see there's a blessing to enjoy, then do what he said, and you'll be blessed. Because last time I checked, I think it's common among us. You want every blessing that God believes you can handle that'll be good for you and honorable to him, don't you? I don't want folks to die short and live under my privilege. I want to live according to the privilege and blessings that God can give me. And so is there a blessing to enjoy? Is there a command to obey? That's very simple. You know, when something, you know, a lot of times a person will say, well, you know, there's not but 10 commandments in the Bible. Oh, you couldn't be more wrong. Folks, the 10 commandments in the Bible is merely the core, because every other commandment in the Bible is a spinoff of one of the 10. And it's something for us to learn. And so, is there a command to obey? I wish I had time tonight to run through some of the other commands of both Old and New Testament. So if there's something to obey, it'd do us good to obey it. Is there a sin to avoid? My. Flee the appearance of evil. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. The old example I give is something Dr. R.G. Lee from another generation gave. He said, we can't even learn what cows learn. And they said, what do you mean, Dr. Lee? He said, feed the cow hay and sticks. He'll eat the hay and leave the sticks. We don't seem to understand that. And so he said here, is there a sin to avoid? Leave certain things alone. Last question I'll give you to ask, is there a new thought to carry with me? Let me say this to you and encourage your heart. If you will talk about this book in its context, don't try to pull something out. Folks, you can pull two or three things out of here that doesn't relate to each other. You can pull out of there that Judas went and hung himself, and then pull out another verse that said, go and do ye likewise, and you can build you a doctrine to commit suicide. God not in that. But if you look at a new thought to carry with you, if you will leave this book in its context and ponder it and pray over it, and let that be out of the overflow of your heart what you share with others, you will find out that your words will minister life. Can I tell you one of the things that, now that I've lived as long as I have, has come to be an unexpected blessing in my life? I will have people remind me of things I said. And I believe with all my heart it must have been an angel that said that to them. I do not remember saying that at all. And I'm thinking, no, God spoke that to your heart, and you're thinking I did it. But the bottom line is, folks, when you give them the word of God, it is God speaking to them through you. And God the Holy Spirit makes an interpretation in their hearts with what you said, because he first said it, and something is accomplished in them, and you look like a wise person when all you did was pass along the wisdom of the one who's infinitely wise. Boy, I tell you right now, that gets to be a blessing when you think about it. And so, is there a new thought? Every time you open the book, dear Lord, I've opened this more times than I can even count, though I know you know. And Lord, my greatest danger as I open this book is to say, well, I've been here before. I've read this before. Now, Spirit of God, make this fresh in my heart. Lord, if it's become stale, it don't mean it's stale. It means I've become stale. So make this fresh in my heart. I often say to him, Lord, as I come, I need this just for me. But Lord, if I'm going to pastor one of your churches, I want to be able to tell the people, what did you say? And out of what you said, what does that mean for our lives? Folks, God has a, quote, new thought for us every time we come to open his book. Now, Dr. Adrian Rogers used to make this statement. If it's new, it ain't true. If it's true, it ain't new. But I tell you what can be new. The old truth that we didn't see, God can make new in your heart. And you think, I don't believe I've been reading that all these years and I didn't see that. Why didn't I see that? Because God is making it new to you and me. That's what it ought to be. So when we're studying the scriptures, I conclude with this thought. Read it through. Think it clear. Write it down. Pray it in. Live it out. And pass it on. You want me to say that one more time? When studying the scriptures, read it through. Think it clear. Write it down. Pray it in. Live it out. And pass it on. Sam Cathy shared with me so much that has impacted my life. He said he would, at one point in his ministry, living near him was an African-American preacher. Said he was a wise man. And they would get together and talk about their sermons. And I said to him one day, how do you get to the place you preach like you do? He said, well, Sammy, I sits down and I reads myself full. I rear back and I thinks myself clear. I get on my knees and I praise myself hot. And then I run to the pulpit and burn for Jesus. Folks, that ain't bad advice, is it? Let's pray.
Precious Father, none of us have anything to say or think other than what's in your book. Certainly nothing that's worth talking about or spending time jawing about. Now tonight, may our hearts fall in love again with your book, which we've learned is life. Praise your name, it's life. In a world that's possessed with death, there is one who is the one that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And your words are life. thank you for your words of life that I heard through these children tonight. Thank you for their workers who've been teaching and training them. Thank you for homes and moms and dads that's been instilling it in there. Lord, we're aware that the ultimate training starts at the house, but the church needs to buttress everything by way of spiritual training that the mom and dad pray and desire to do in those children. Lord, we seem to in life have a tendency, almost like a giftedness at times, to retain certain things. Some people retain comedy and jokes. Some people retain mathematics. Some people retain things of other study disciplines. But I pray, Spirit of God, you give us all such a magnetism toward your word that we'll retain what you have said. Give us a mind and heart to read it, to think it, to inhale it, to digest it, to live it, and certainly to pass it on. Thank you, Lord, that in my life are innumerable people I could not begin to count. The men and women, from my parents, through the Sunday school teaching, through the preachers and others who just talked to me about your book. Thank you for enriching my life, and may I desire every day to open it that you would enrich me further, and may I, Lord, long to be an enrichment to somebody else because of what you've said. Sanctify these moments, save anybody tonight that's lost, and encourage every heart, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, please? This will be a time when we respond to anything that we need to publicly respond to.